Blog Talk Radio.
Lawrence with another edition of Truth Finders. Listen, I need you to call a friend and text a neighbor and let them know that Truth Finders is on the air. Hallelujah. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, this is where we dig into the Word of God to find our truth in Christ Jesus. Now, we know you can follow us always on blogtalkradio.com. You can leave your comments and your questions. You can even go back and listen to past episodes. Amen. And we also want you to go grab your pen and your paper and your Bible so we can start to dig into the Word of God. And while you're doing it, amen, on the last, you know, couple of months or so, we have been saying to you, we need to show people the love of God. This is where giving, hallelujah, those basic necessities to our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. So while we're in this time, and a lot of people are still on downtime, go volunteer at your local church. Go give, hallelujah, to your local food banks, even monetary or actual donations. You can also go join with some of your community organizations that's helping people who are on hard times and can't seem to really get together. This is where we step in as the body of Christ. We show them the love of God. We show them that we are give. Christ gives and we give. Amen. So I hope you're in this time and season that everything is so disrupted in the land. I hope that you have the mind, the compassion for your sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus to go give. Amen. So now, back now, you should have your pen, your paper, your Bible. Amen. And let's get into the Word of God. Let's start off with a prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We glorify, magnify, and worship you in the beauty of holiness on this afternoon. Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank and praise you because you and you alone are worthy to be praised. We're asking you to come in, Holy Spirit, and stretch out. You come in and give us everything that we need, Lord God. You come in and let your word life, the hallelujah, and living, Lord God. You come in on today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, Spirit, I just thank you as you have your way, hallelujah, as I decrease and you increase, Lord God. We all know it's not by might or power, Lord God, but it's by your Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So we ask you to move by your Spirit like never before, Lord God. Touch our hearts, touch our minds, Lord God. We even coming together to ask you to touch our situations and circumstances, Lord God. Whatever the adversary tried to sneak in, Lord God, we're cutting them off right now in the name of Jesus. We're closing any doors that might have been open to the adversary on today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for the authority, the power that you've given us from on high. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us today on Truth Finders. And listen, we always start like with a quick little review of what we had last week. And last time we were together. And so last time we talked about activated and how God, Jesus himself, told us to go into the highways and the hedges, tell people of the goodness of God, go out and preach the good news of the gospel, which is the kingdom of God, which is God's way of doing things, that how he wants us to go out and bring them in and draw people out of darkness into light. Those are what he created us to do once we got saved. We're not just saved and sitting there, but we're saved and we are commanded by Jesus Christ himself to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel others in, to draw them in, to pull them in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I thank you. And if you want to listen to that teaching in entirety, you can go back to Blog Talk Radio and listen to the episode that says Activate. So on today, we're talking about the weapons of our warfare. Amen. the weapons of our warfare. And this really came to me because I don't know if I was watching the news or something, but I see a lot of people getting upset and angry. But I heard the Holy Ghost say the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. It's mighty through God through pulling down a stronghold. That's, we don't fight the way the world fights. We already know this place is not our home. We already know that we're just strangers sojourning through a foreign country. But God left us here, hallelujah. Like he prayed for us, Jesus prayed. He said, let them be in the world, but not of the world. He said, if you try to fight the fight on this earth, you're going to be just swinging at the air like Paul said. He said, but us, we're more skillful, hallelujah. We're skillful in the things of God. He's given us the weapons that we're all, everything we do, that we'll be successful and we will win. We already know the war is already won. Now he's teaching us how to win individual battles. And so today we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. You tell him to get over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. And it says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, according to the flesh. Hallelujah. But he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, not earthly, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, every thought into the obedience of Christ. And so here Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthian church, don't get caught up on things that's going around you. They're just smoke screens. They're just things that the adversary is playing and planting. But he said, us as the body of Christ, we need to know that the war that we, the weapons that God gave us, our warfare, they're all spiritual. They're not tangible. They're intangible. They come into, as we, as saints of God, we need to know that we're a spiritual being. That's why apostles say there is no condemnation to him that is in Christ Jesus that's walking after the spirit and not after the flesh. For those of her who are walking in the spirit, God said, now you need to fight the fight. You can't fight the way the world. You can't go beat people up. But what you need to be able to do, you need to be able to speak a word. You need to do it the way I did it when I was here, when Christ was here, when our Lord came to teach us, when our big brother Jesus came to teach us how to live on this earth successfully. And so here, Apostle Paul, so our warfare, it's not carnal. We don't go cussing people out and calling people names. That doesn't work. God said, you need to go in the spirit, hallelujah. You need to go in a place, hallelujah, where you talk to God and he gives you skill. He's trying to make you sharp as serpent and as humble as doves. And so the first weapon of our warfare is going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18. This is a familiar scripture. And a lot of times we end with this, like, oh, this is our weapons, our warfare. No, our weapons are much more than this. This is just the beginning. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18. And let me read that for you. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet, the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so Apostle Paul was trying to tell us, the first weapon is you got to be able to put on your whole armor. For those of you who ever served in the military, including myself, you can't go out on a battlefield in flip-flops. You can't go out with the right apparel. And so Apostle Paul said, look, before you even think about warring, you have to put on the right gear. You need to be able to protect your head. You need to be able to protect your chest.
You need to be able to protect your feet. You got to be able to have the war and the sword in your hand to be able to fight back. All the things you need to start off with starts here. As he told us in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Again, he's telling you, he said, your weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You're not going to go out there and start beating people up and beating them over the head. He said, no, what we're fighting against, you don't see. He said, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's Satan. That's demonic spirits. Those are the spirits that came when the devil fell, when Lucifer fell out of heaven and took two-thirds of the angels with him. Those are the prince of the air. He's controlling the atmosphere. But when Jesus came, he came to give us victory over all their tricks and schemes, all the things that they do. And so here we're starting off by putting on the full armor of God. You got to know that you're saved. You got to walk in, hallelujah, you got to walk in truth. You got to be in a place of peace. You got to be able to have faith. All those things you need just to even start before the war even begins, you have to have those things. Now we're just preparing for the war. We haven't gone into battle. We're just putting on the gear that we need to go into battle. So the second thing, weapon of our warfare, is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Let's go over there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And it says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in the heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so the second part of your warfare weapon is the name of Jesus. Why do you think the world is always trying to take out the name of Jesus? They say you can pray, but you can't say the name of Jesus. They even created a Bible that they removed the word Jesus out of everything, because we know that's power in the name of Jesus. We know, hallelujah, when he came down here and died, hallelujah, and shed his blood for us and went back to sit on the right hand of God, the Father said, I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to glorify you. Nothing's going to be higher than your name in this whole earth. And so when you want power, we need the adversary to get back. If you want to see results in your life, you got to do it at the name of Jesus. Even when we pray, we pray to the Father, we say, in the name of Jesus. If you want power in that warfare, if you want to see things move, if you want to see mountains removed, you got to do it at the name of Jesus. There's nothing on it. That's why he said here, and then it makes sense to me. He said, ain't nothing on the earth, under the earth. There's no way, nothing is more powerful than the name of Jesus. And so when we go in, we have to understand we need to call on the name of Jesus to be able to fight the principalities and the prince of this air. Let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah 45. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45. And we are going to go to 22 through 25. And I'm going to read that. And this is old. I know you're saying this is Old Testament, but I want to show you because Jesus is Lord. We've said this over and over again in the New Testament. Jesus is Lord. So let's look at 45, 22 through 25. And it says, look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, it is righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. And so in the Old Testament, we see Isaiah saying, wait, the Lord, at the name of the Lord, surely once at the name of the Lord, every knee going to bow, every tongue going to confess. And our Lord is Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen? And so, hallelujah. That's our second weapon, the name of Jesus. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's flip over there. So the first weapon of our warfare, we had to put on the full armor of God so we could even have the right things gear on to even go in the battle. The second thing we found that the name of Jesus is our second, hallelujah, is our second weapon in warfare. We have to use the name of Jesus. There's nothing more powerful in all this earth than the name of Jesus. And now we're going over to Hebrews. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews, and stay with me while I get over there. We have a lot of scriptures on today because I really want you, fellow truth finders, to be able to win these small battles. We all know, we already know we're all overcome. The war is already won. But now I want to see you have the victory in Christ Jesus as you live here on this earth. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The third weapon of our warfare is the blood of Jesus. And you say, when we hear people say, now we're taking Jesus, the most powerful thing on earth, and we're pleading the blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Christ, that when it dropped to the ground, it created all new things. It restored us. It brought the dead to life. And so when we plead the blood of Jesus, I thank God from coming from a ministry, when we first were babes and saints, the first thing my pastor taught us, if you don't even know any scriptures, just plead the blood of Jesus. Just go around saying, because there's power in the blood, and there's power in the name of Jesus, and that will back the adversary off of you. So he said, she told us, plead the blood of Jesus. If nothing else, plead the blood of Jesus. When we understand how powerful the blood of Jesus is, look what it did. When the shed blood of Christ hit the earth, it raised the dead. It allowed the devil to go down to the hell and get those out of hell and take the keys from the adversary. That blood was so powerful. That blood turned it around for us. And so when we have faith in Christ, in the name of Jesus, and we have faith in the blood of Jesus, we have the right to go to the enemy's camp and say, the blood of Jesus be against you, and hallelujah, make the adversary flee every time. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 20 says this, and if you have it, Hebrews 13 and 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's the covenant we have with God now. When God sees us, he doesn't no longer see sin, sick flesh, but now he sees the blood of Jesus. It's speaking for us. It's helping us. It's keeping us from being condemned. It is so powerful. And so when you are going into warfare, you have to plead the blood of Jesus. There's nothing, hallelujah, on this earth more powerful than the blood of Jesus. I have a lot of scriptures for the blood. I'm going to give you one more, and then I'm going to give you the actual scriptures for you if you want to go back and look at those scriptures yourself. Let's go over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 20. It says this. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in the heaven, the blood of Jesus reconciled us back to the Father and back to heaven. How powerful is that? That when God looks down on this earth, he sees the blood of Jesus. But God said, okay, now they're reconciled. They're no longer separated apart from me, but now they're part of the beloved through the blood. How strong, how powerful is it just to say that? Amen? And so our fourth thing, the fourth weapon of our warfare, let's go over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and for those of you, and we're going to read Revelation chapter 12, but for those of you who wanted extra scriptures for the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 1 and 7, John 1 and 7, Revelations 1 and 5. Those are some powerful scriptures. And for those of you who are students of the Word of God, those of you who are teachers, you're going to want to put those in your arsenal so you can show people that the blood of Jesus, it still works. It hasn't lost its power, and it's still the most powerful thing on this earth. So by now you should be over to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The fourth part of a weapons of our warfare is our words of our testimony. Revelation 12 and 11 says this. and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We just talked about the blood. And by the words of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. And so now, after we plead the blood of Jesus, now we got to tell people our testimony. We overcame him being the devil, the adversary, the wicked one, Lucifer, the demonic spirit, by the words of our testimony. When you tell people what God brought you through, when you tell them how good he is, what happens is we, hallelujah, we destroy the kingdom of the adversary. We destroy the kingdom of the devil because people say to themselves, if God did it for you, he can do it for me. And that's the awesome thing about testimony. Another thing that's so powerful that we don't always utilize. God brings us through all these trials and tribulations, and he brings it out on top, for he may get the glory out of those. And he can't get the glory if you don't tell anybody. If you don't tell anybody how good God is, well, and we can tell people that God delivered me from cancer, and if he delivered me from cancer, he sure can deliver you from cancer. You know what the words of your testimony is? It gives people hope, and hope make it not ashamed. And hope is the start of their faith and believing in Christ Jesus. The thing that the world does not have that we as saints have is hope. Thing that, hallelujah, that we have, everything, every being that we have, all is rooted in hope. We believe. We believe. And the only way people are going to believe is they hear the testimony. That's a weapon. When you tell people, I had to learn this. This is a quick testimony. I've had cancer twice. The first time I had cancer, I really didn't tell a lot of people. I went through a lot of things. I was always depressed and oppressed, it seemed like. But the second time that thing came around, I told everybody. And I told them that God is going to get the glory out of it. And if he did it for me. And when I got through this thing, I heard people praising God because they had hope. The hope that they had hope in my testimony that God would bring them out. And so then now they look at their lives and say, you know what? If God brought her through that and mine is just a light affliction, he's surely going to bring me out. And so faith moves God. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evident things not seen. So now they have the hope from your testimony, the things you told them about all God has done good in your life. Now they take that hope with them and they hide it in their heart. Now their faith is being built. Now they're moving God in their heart with their mouth because they have the hope that they need to get to the next step in him. Hallelujah. Let's look at Mark. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Get over to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verse 19. And it says this. And I had never really thought about this, but this is what it says. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. Tell people about the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. Tell them about how he healed you, how he delivered you, how he set you free. He said, go tell your family and friends about the goodness of the Lord. Because that moves people. That's why God is so awesome. He makes the foolish things in the world to conform the wise. Amen. He says to us, go tell somebody. Just telling your story can save many. And you have to believe that. You have to believe every time you tell somebody your testimony, that hope is being built in them, and that hope in them is being built in the next person that they tell your testimony to, and the hope is being built. You have to believe that. That's a weapon. And as saints, we need to understand that's a weapon that is dangerous to the adversary. Because when you give people hope where they're hopeless, now his kingdom is defeated. Amen. And so let's go to the next, hallelujah. So the weapons of our warfare, first we said we had to put on the whole armor of God. Second, we knew that the name of Jesus we use as a weapon of warfare. Number three, we found out that the blood of Jesus is a weapon of our warfare. Number four, we found out that the words of our testimonies are is a weapon in our arsenal against the adversary. Now let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. I hope you guys are getting this. I want to see all of you truth finders, hallelujah, in a place where you're victorious. where you're standing strong before the adversary, and you're not always on the offense. You're not always trying to, but you're on defense. Hallelujah. You're not also on the defense, but you're on the offense. You can go into the enemy's camp and take back everything he tried to take for you because you know how to fight now. You have everything you need to go in and snatch, not just the stuff the devil took from you, but now you have the ability to go snatch souls out of hell. Hallelujah. So the fifth weapon in our arsenal against the weapons of our warfare, the word of God. And I say this all the time, and people look at me, but let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is quick," that's living, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and its discernment of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." How powerful is that? One word can make somebody alive. One word is sharp enough to go in and out. One word from the Lord, hallelujah, the word of God, could go in and heal you, and at the same time as you speak it back to somebody else, heal them like a double-edged sword. One word would go into your soul, into your spirit, and change your joints and your manner. The word of God discerns your thoughts and everything that's going on in your heart. Just the word from God. How powerful is that? How powerful. We know Jesus is the word of God. We know our Lord and Savior is the word of God, according to St. John chapter 1. He said, the word was with God and the word was God. And so now, Apostle Paul said, you need to understand how powerful the word of God is. I tell people all the time, the most powerful thing on this earth is the word of God. It created the earth, the heaven, the seas. It created everything we see just by, hallelujah, by the Father saying, let there be. The words went forth. They're powerful. They're living. They're active. They're moving. As we speak the word of God, things are changing. Atmospheres are changing. People are changing. Simply at the word of God. And we need to know that's a weapon that God has given us. And that's why the adversary tries to defeat us from sitting down reading our Bibles or trying to stop us from hearing a preacher. If it's not a word that makes us shout and scream and being emotional, then we don't want to hear it. But God said, learn the word of God. He said, learn of me. Learn of me. If you learn of me, there's nothing that can defeat you in this earth. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Let's get it up, and we're still talking about our fifth piece of the arsenal in our weapons of our warfare. Let's get over to Matthew chapter 10. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, guys. I've been quoting this almost since I got saved, and I want to give this to you as well, because when you know this, when you're able to walk in this, you know, it's life-changing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 says this, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth." This is Jesus talking because it's in red. "I didn't come to give you peace." Everybody, oh, Jesus is so wonderful. He said, no, I came. He said, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." We know by the word of God, as we read early in Ephesians chapter 6, the sword is the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, he says the sword is the word of God. God said, Jesus said, "I didn't come to give you peace. I don't want you to lay down and die and kumbaya and just sit there like, oh, I love you." He said, "No, I gave you the word of God so you can fight back. I gave you the word of God so it's quick and powerful and sharper that you be able to change life. I gave you the word of God that you may be able to back the adversary out of your atmosphere. I gave you the word of God so you can speak over your children and your home and your community and your families and your friends and your church home, the people in you. I gave you the word of God so you can make things change. The word of God created heavens and earth. Surely, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, you have the authority and the power to speak over any situation and circumstances with the word of God and see it manifested in your life and other lives. That's a weapon, saints. That's a weapon. That's a weapon we need to use. That's a weapon we need to go through, and we need to speak the word. word of God. We need to speak over people. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, life and death are in the power, death and life is in the power of the tongue. You have to be able to speak the word of God into the atmosphere. It has to be what you use. You can't go back and be defeated and watch people and think be defeated. You have to use the word of God. God knows his word. You speak the word of God. He hears. He says, that's my word. I got to move. The Holy Ghost says, I got to move. Every time we speak the word, I got to move. We need to understand how powerful the word of God is. Let's look at the sixth part of arsenal and the weapons of our warfare. Let's go to Isaiah 61 and 3. Hope you all are getting this. Hope I'm not going too fast as I am. You can always go back and listen to the episode again and get those scriptures and go back and study them. Tell the truth, find this. Isaiah 61 and 3 says this, and this is a very familiar scripture. To point unto them the mourning and dying, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the garment of praise, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Our next thing is praise. Praise confuses the adversary. We hear people say that all the time. But scripturally, he's telling us, if you praise, let's go over to Psalms 149 and 6 so you can see this even better. Psalms 149, 149th division of Psalms, and we're going to read verse 6. So you can see the power of praise. It says that the high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And we just learned that the two-edged sword is the word of God. So God said, praise me. When you look at the whole book of Psalms, he's saying God inhabits in the midst of the praises of people. So when you're in war, you need backup. When you need backup, you praise God. When you praise God, he shows up and he defeats the adversary for you. Think you're not strange in the Old Testament. When they took over Jericho, all they had to do was praise God and those walls came crumbling down. Hallelujah. Every time they went to battle, he said, you need not fight this battle. He said, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. He told his people over and over again, don't pick up anything carnal. I just need you to praise me. And as you praise me, I will fight your battle. Hallelujah. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? We serve an awesome God. He said, all you have to do is praise my name. All you have to do is lift up the name of Jesus. All you have to do is just keep praising me because the adversary hates it. He wants God's praise in your life. And when you start praising God, you start doing that thing, he says, whoa, I got to move. Whoa, I got to go see what's going on because they're calling on my name. They're lifting me on high. They're glorifying my name. I got to go see what's going on. And when we look at this and we see it over and over and over in the Old Testament, when he said, just praise me. Praise me and everything that's coming against you, every battle, every incident will be just abolished out your life. All you got to do is praise me. This is powerful, saint. Just get up with a hallelujah and yoke being destroyed, burdens being lifted. We're just praising the name of the Lord. And our last hallelujah, peace of our arsenal. That I want you to look at. Let's go over to James. James chapter 5. Let's get over that thing. Look at me. It's towards the end. I know it's hard to put this up. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. James chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if we have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm going to add in these next two scriptures so you can see how powerful prayer is. 17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it rain not. It might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Then he turned around and he prayed again. And heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. How powerful is prayer when you got a relationship with God? God will move heaven and earth for you as you pray. That's how we call things into existence. We bring the things of heaven on earth. We get God to move by our prayer. And so it has to. We have to have a prayer life. We have to have been in a place where we're praying with constant communication with heaven to the Father, to Jesus. And that is a weapon in our warfare. We talk to God. We get things to move. We already said we praise God to bring us down here, and we pray to him and say, look, God, look how mighty this is. Elias, hallelujah, Elijah prayed, God, don't let it rain. And it did not rain. And he prayed, okay, Lord, let it rain. And it rained. We even look at Joshua, tell him in the book of Joshua, Lord, let the sun stay in the air until we defeat all our enemies, and then you can take the sun out the air. And God did it. Pray and pray, you know, you say I'm gonna die, but I'm not ready to die. So, God, I need to have some more time. And he gave him more time. See how powerful prayer is? It can change everything. And here in James, he said, look, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, but when you are right standing with God, when you have that pole armor like we talked about as our first thing, there's nothing about it that you can't pray for. You hold on to the altar. You have that relationship with God. You praised him. You used his word. You pleaded the blood of Jesus. Now you get down on your knees and you start praying to the Heavenly Father and you watch him move. Don't let the adversary trick you and think, and this is a big thing in the body of Christ, God don't hear your prayers. God ain't moved for you. Yeah, but God is moving in the spirit. Because we know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God through the pulling down the stronghold. And so while we're steady praying, while we're steady moving, God is doing something for us. Amen? Hallelujah. And our last scripture, let's go over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. You all are enjoying this thing. Philippians chapter 4. Let me get over here. I'm telling you all, let me get over here. Philippians, book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Oh, here we go, right here. It says this. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Prayer will fix everything. When I tell you prayer will fix everything that's going on in your life, every situation, just go to the Father. A lot of times we get in a place where we don't know what we should be praying as we ought to. We say the Spirit of the Lord give us utterance. And so he's telling, he said, look, now you need to be in a place. Just pray. Just give it to the Lord. Pray for all supplication. He said, don't get excited. Don't get anxious. Don't worry about nothing. Just pray. Stop and ask me. Ask the Maker the things that are going on in your life. And watch him move. Amen. That's our last thing. Amen. God bless you all. I thank you all for joining us here on Truth Finders, amen. I hope you all got those scriptures. If not, you can always reach out to me. Leave a comment or a question. I can get those things to you. You can always go back and listen to the episode again. But I thank and praise you all for sitting here with us as we walk through the Word of God. And I hope you're learning to develop the weapons of your warfare. God bless you, and I want y'all to remember this. It's the truth that makes you free. God bless you, and have an awesome afternoon.